Are you a clinician in primary care who wishes there were better resources to help you understand how to navigate the concept of triage in modern general practice? We'll boost your triage skills with our dynamic 5-session live webinar course tailored for primary care clinicians. Led by myself and Dr. Ed Pooley from Difficult Conversations, this comprehensive training covers all facets of remote patient triage, whether that be digital, on-call, or other opportunities. Through this course, you'll gain practical knowledge, exclusive hints and tips, and direct access to myself and Ed through open Q&A sessions of the course. Elevate your ability to manage primary care challenges effectively and confidently, and most importantly, safely. Register now to transform your triage approach at bit.ly/GP triage course, the GP in capitals, and we will definitely catch you then. There are various different ways that we can help general practice. And in this episode, I'm joined by the teams from Patches as they try and help you patch primary care. I know, I love that phrase and stuff. And we're going to look at the various different tools and tips that they've got to help you in general practice and some really cool stuff I don't think I've seen from anywhere else as well. So let's crack on as we tech enhance your primary care and learning. Hello, EGP learners, and welcome to this episode where I'm joined by the team from Patches as we're talking about Patches AI and some of the new features they've got that, like I said, I don't think I've come across in other places so far. So that's going to be really cool to talk about. Obviously, this is the EGP Learning live stream, and you can absolutely join us and ask questions as we go through, and we will come to those shortly. But before we do that, I'd like the team to introduce themselves. So, Ben, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. Hi, Gandhi. Thanks for having us. Hi, everyone. My name is Ben Brown. I'm the Chief Medical Officer of Patches. I'm a GP partner in Salford. I'm also a senior clinical lecturer at the University of Manchester, where I do research into health informatics, which is essentially software for healthcare, but of course, more primary care based stuff.
Awesome. And we've also got Gwyneth joining us as well. Say hi, Gwyneth.
Hi everyone, I'm Gwyneth Tyrone. I'm the product manager for Patches at Patches Health. My background is in healthcare IT.
Awesome, thank you. So I know we're going to talk about Patches AI, but just before we do that, do you mind just telling us a little bit more about Patches and you know what you guys have been doing, where you came from, etc.?
Yes, so Patches has been around since just before the pandemic now. It actually came about as a collaboration between Patches Health, a tech company, and the University of Manchester, where I was working initially. And we thought that we wanted to use, I do a lot of research into how we can use AI to improve healthcare. And we were kind of thinking about ways that we could better use AI to, you know, manage demand and workload in primary care. We came up with lots of ideas. This is the one that really took off. So we're in lots of practices around the country now and being used every day to help primary care practices, GP practices, manage their demand and communicate with patients and provide better care.
Awesome. And as I said, so if people do want to ask us questions, feel free to do that. We will come to those shortly. But I think before we get to those kind of questions, be interesting to show what's been going on with Patches themselves. So tell us what you've been up to, Ben.
Yeah, so shall I start to share my slides then, and we can go through it? Yeah. So you tell me when I'm good to go, Gandhi.
You're good to go.
Great. So yeah, so we think that we're delivering the future of general practice. So we're an online consultation system. We believe we're the most innovative product out there. We're doing lots of interesting things, which we'll talk about during the presentation. So we're going to do a nice demo for you and get you to see what the product actually does live. But we're going to focus on some of the key things that we think set us apart from the competition. So Gandhi, you've mentioned AI, artificial intelligence. I've mentioned it as well. It's one of my research interests. So we are the only product on the market that provides true machine learning. And by that, I mean the ability for the system itself to learn from real world general practice, real world clinicians about how to triage patients and workflow patients within the online consultation system itself. And more, even more uniquely, we do that using natural language processing. So we allow patients to write in free text exactly what their problems are, and we run the machine learning and AI algorithms in the background to process that. So we'll show you that during a demo. So that's in contrast to where you might be familiar with using triage in online consultations, where there is a fixed algorithm that the patient has to follow with yes, no questions. So that we believe this has much more advantages than that kind of approach. We're also going to show you our language translation. So again, you may be familiar with some other products on the market which allow, which translate the text that's within the system for patients to see, but then that can be limited to a certain number of languages, but also there's no kind of translation back for the patient. So it's very fixed, it's not dynamic, which makes it a bit more difficult to use. And then finally, I'm going to talk about our newest feature, which is the most, which is one we're really excited about at the moment, which is the telephone assistant. So we are not aware of anywhere else in the UK, certainly, and maybe even the world, that has a product like this, which really enables accessibility for online consultations. So we all know that online consultations are great if you can use a smartphone and a computer, but if you can't, then, you know, what do those patients do? So we're going to try and focus on those themes, including that we hope address these themes of inclusivity, patient safety, and workload. And then we're going to tie up with talking about how we think we can help with the new GP contract. I know you did a webinar, an update webinar on the weekend, didn't you, Gandhi, about that? Mm-hmm. So you possibly help me out a bit more with that, with the further details, and tell you what we've got upcoming, onboarding and support, what we offer. And then we're going to end on costs as well. Very important.
Yes.
So just to provide a bit more of a background, Patches is a collaboration between Patches Health and Advanced. I've already mentioned the University of Manchester, but in terms of delivery, it's between Patches Health and Advanced. So with Patches Health team, we provide the technology, we develop the software. Advanced provide the implementation, the onboarding support. So we're clinically led. Obviously, I'm a GP. We have a strong clinical team in Advanced as well. With Patches Health, you get AI expertise. So all of our, we have a wealth of experience with developing AI in lots of different sectors. Lots of the software engineers have PhDs, they're data scientists as well. So we have lots of in-house AI expertise. We have experience with Advanced in scale and in service delivery. Many of the viewers may know Advanced as the company behind DocMan as well. And then with the collaboration with the University of Manchester, everything we do is evidence-based as well. And we really try to do that through research that we conduct. So just some key figures. We're in over 1,100 practices. We support over 10 million patients. Practices have told us that they're seeing more GP capacity and increased reception capacity, reduced phone calls to reception when they use the software. They're more efficient. They'll be able to respond to requests quickly. They're offering more same-day appointments. And the feedback that we've been getting from the system is really nice as well. So we've got great reviews on Trustpilot. If you look at any of the other software online consultation system providers on their Trustpilot scores, they're not as good as ours. Let's put it like that. But you can see we've rated 4.5, and you can go on to Trustpilot and see those quotes that we get from patients every day. And we've been winning some nice awards recently as well, health tech and digital awards for last year, which is nice. And just a selection of some feedback that we'll be getting on Trustpilot recently, but you can see that yourself on the site. And some nice feedback from some of the practices that use the software as well. So, just to highlight those. So what does the product do? Well, it does incoming messages. So, like any online consultation system, patients can use the software through their smartphone or their computer. That obviously comes through to the practice, and you can then respond via SMS, email, video. But in addition, we do outgoing messaging capability as well. So we do a full suite of outgoing messaging. So that's ad hoc messaging and video to individual patients, but also we can do it in batch, in bulk, to cohorts of patients. And of course, they can reply. So we've got the whole kind of suite of communication functionality, both incoming and outgoing for you. We have lots of pre-built clinical questionnaires. So I mentioned at the beginning that we tend to focus on primarily free text, so patients can type in their own words what they can what their concerns are. But also, we provide lots of pre-built clinical questionnaires. There's 44 listed here. There's loads that we're building currently that are coming soon that are in the bottom right. And in addition to these pre-built questionnaires, you've got ones that you can build your own. You can add SNOMED codes. There are over 150 advice templates, and we have full integration with the NHS UK API, which means that you can send any of those NHS.UK help links to patients through Patches as well. And all of these come they're included in the cost of Patches. So we don't charge extra to access certain questionnaires as well. Just talking about our artificial intelligence briefly, we have 5 different modules. They're UKCA marked class 1 medical devices. We have urgency AI, which flags and prioritizes urgent requests, topic AI, which works out the clinical topics of requests and can also then be linked to specific questionnaires to ask patients automatically. We have the signpost AI, which can signpost patients to self-care or urgent emergency services. A face-to-face AI, which highlights which patients may need a face-to-face appointment and therefore you may want to see sooner or quicker rather than dealing with them remotely and then bringing them in, you might want to just book them straight into an appointment. And we have what we call an assign AI, which works out the clinical, whether something needs clinical or administrative input. Now, because they're UKCA marked medical devices, we have a wealth of kind of clinical documentation and safety evaluation behind them. And also that's through our research that we do with the University of Manchester and now the University of Cambridge we've currently got some research that's funded by NHR. But what that means is that I can tell you very specifically what some of the performance metrics are for these modules. So you can see them listed there. So I can tell you that urgency AI has a sensitivity of 95%. So anybody, and this is kind of a broader point for anyone that's watching, that if there is a piece of software, an online consultation system that says they're using AI, they're definitely going to be a medical device if they're doing triage or workflow. So I would always ask to see those clinical safety case reports. They should have a separate clinical safety case report, and they should be able to quote to you those metrics, the accuracies, so that you know how safe the system is and you're making an informed decision about how to use, whether you want to use the software and how to use it. So that's on that there. So particularly the AI, I think it helps us address the kind of this best of both worlds approach. So typically systems will either have free text or multiple choice approaches. So the advantage of patients typing in free text, as mentioned before, it's easy and flexible to use, though often it doesn't provide enough information. On the other hand, you've got these multiple choice based algorithms where the patients answer yes or no questions. The pros are that you do get more information, but they're a bit more difficult to use, inflexible, and often you get a lot of irrelevant information. So what Patches tries to do is bridge that gap. So you get the natural language at the beginning, and then the AIs run, and you get asked follow-up questions to provide a bit more information. So what I'm going to do now, I think, we're talking about language translation, and then I'm going to do the demo. So the other point is the language translation. We have over 30 of the most commonly spoken non-English languages in the UK available for two-way language translation in Patches. Again, this comes free of charge, included in the price of Patches. And actually, the official advice from NHS England is that we shouldn't be using these online automatic translation services. However, we know that patients will use them anyway. And that's actually through some of our own research. This was published in the BJGP just last week. So the reference is there if you want to look into it. So what we do is we offer the practices an option of using the translation within Patches. The advantages are is that we have professionally checked the warnings within Patches, so you know that the accuracy is there and it's safe to use from that point of view. We also provide data privacy, obviously, because the patient isn't typing their symptoms into Google Translate or whatever. And also there's an audit trail because you are able to see the original language that was used by the patient. Obviously, if the patient just uses Google Translate, for example, and pastes it into your system, you're not going to know that they've actually used a language translation service. So that's why we provide the language translation. Yes, so let me switch and do the demo now. Can you see that now, Gandhi? Is that okay? Sorry, I should have mentioned I'm going to switch over. Is that all showing up now, Gandhi?
Yep, all sorted. Do you want to know how to use System 1 more effectively as a clinician? There are various different things you can look at, but there is only one course that can help you understand this and have all my hints and tips on how to use System 1 so much more effectively, and that's the System 1 course for clinicians. If you want to have a look at it, have a look bit.ly/TPPS1course, TPP and S1 in capitals. But if you do have a look at it, what will you get? Well, you'll get content and information and guides on how to use System 1 more effectively, from getting started with System 1 to navigating the patient record to understanding the key parts like doing a consultation, as well as prescribing, clinical admin, communication, and various other information. And this includes my hints and tips on how to use System 1 so much more effectively, so it saves you time and your patients stress in terms of their navigation with their patient journey. If you want to have a look at it, check out the link. As I said, it's bit.ly/TPPS1course, and the TPP and S1 are all in capitals, and you will get access to all this content perfectly. Even better yet, there's a money back guarantee. So if you don't actually find this course has helped save you some time, just let me know. I'll refund you the course once you've completed it and stuff. Catch you then.
Great. So this is my GP practice website. As you can see, there's a big banner at the top. Obviously, like any online consultation system, if the patient wants to use the system, they come here and they click on the banner. At this point, they're provided with a few different options. They can obviously contact the practice, check their messages, change their details, etc. They can access self-care advice. This is integrated with the NHS help links that I mentioned before. So if a patient has a cough, for example, they can have a look at that and get some self-help advice. They can also find pharmacy near them, a walk-in center, etc., or contact 111. So that's pretty standard in terms of trying to signpost the patient to more appropriate services before they get to you. If they want to use the system and actually try to contact you, they would press this button. But I'm now going to switch to our demo system so I can show you what that looks like. Just get my login details. Sorry, I will be flicking between. So when the patient first logs in, if they've used the system before, they will be able to view all their past requests and messages that they've been sent. So that's really useful if they want to be able to, review advice that they've been given, and, they're not having to contact you again to try and find out what's been discussed. They can also see any medication that they've ordered or appointments that they've booked, and that's through patient-facing services. So we also have patient-facing services available if the practice wants that set up. Now, if they want to make a request, they just click this button here, and it takes them to this page. So there's some warning information about when you're open, which is obviously practice configurable. Warnings not to use Patches in medical emergencies, obviously. And then you'll notice here is the dropdown. So this is how they would do the translation. So they would literally just click here and it brings up all the different languages, and they can just click select a different language. There's a warning. You'll have to trust me in terms of what it says, but it says that if there's any concerns around the accuracy of the translation, that they should contact the practice to book a human translator. But yeah, really, it's as easy as that to change the language. Now, at this point, they can also then choose to make a request for themselves or someone they care for, obviously, if they're a carer, or they can choose to book an appointment in the future. And that's through the patient-facing services again. But at this point, I'll choose myself. And they have five different options at this point. So new health problem, ongoing health problem, admin request, medication request, or other. If patient-facing services set up, then the medication request will go through to the PFS system. If it's not, then it's a free text request that the patient can add. That can be switched on and off by the practice. So that's very easy to kind of toggle on and off. So I'm going to show new health problem. When I first select that, I get the red flag screening questions, of course, that all the systems will have. And if I say that, yes, I've got any of these red flag symptoms, I get directed to A&E. Now, obviously, a safety problem with this is that if the patient could just go back and change their response to that. And the problem is that the GP practice, you won't know that the patient has initially said that they've got some of these red flag symptoms. We have got a unique feature within safety feature, which I will show you hopefully when it comes through to the GP practice, how we deal with that. And essentially it's flagging up that the patient has said that they've got some red flag symptoms before they contacted you. But we'll go back, we'll try again. New health problem, no, I've not got any of these. It's just checking my contact details that everything's okay. They're up to date. Yes, they're up to date. Then it's just got some brief information about how to use the system. You'll see that the patient has 30 minutes to submit their request. Again, I'll explain that in a bit more detail, hopefully, if we get time towards the end. But that's to do with our demand management feature. So essentially how many requests that you allow to let through to match your capacity. But I'll explain that in a bit more detail, hopefully, later. And then what happens is you come through to the what we call the chatbot, but it's essentially a free text form where questions are asked one after the other that to mimic the kind of natural language and conversation that you would have as a primary care clinician when you're consulting a patient. So the questions are open-ended. They're typical of what would be asked in a normal GP consultation. They change slightly depending on obviously the type of request that was selected at the beginning. But we'll go through this example first. So I've got some pre-prepared answers to save time. But the first question is, what are your symptoms? And this first example I'm going to give is a medical emergency. So you can see how the system deals with that. So I have chest pain. I'm struggling to breathe. What do you think may have caused them? They're not sure. Chest infection. Is there anything you're particularly worried about? It hurts and I can't breathe. How long has the problem been going on? Since this morning. Is it getting better, worse, or staying the same? I'll say worse. What's been tried to make the problem better so far? Has it helped? Some paracetamol, but it hasn't helped. If there's someone available at the practice you prefer to help with this problem, please give their names. This is helping with continuity of care. And by the way, I'm being deliberately brief in these answers, but patients do add more information than this. So we do actually have limits on how much they can write as well. So I'll skip this one. If you have thoughts on how your practice would like to help, please let them know here. And I'll skip this one. So this is your typical ideas, concerns, expectations, questions. How would you like help from your GP practice? Do you want face-to-face, SMS? Again, you can actually toggle this question on and off as well. So if you don't want to offer patients these different options, then you can just switch this question off. But I'll say face-to-face. And if there are times you're unavailable for your practice to contact you, please put them here. So I'll just skip that. Now, the patient at this point sees this kind of final confirmation question. It's saying you can go back and just check you're happy with your answers. If you want to edit any of them, you can go back and change them here. But if you're happy with them, they will just continue. It's just saying you're making sure that you're happy. You understand you can only respond during your opening hours. It's not a medical emergency. I mean, clearly this is a medical emergency, but they've but just making sure that it's not. And then this is at the point where the patient, where hopefully the AI will run and will and detects that this is actually a medical emergency, even though the patient before said it wasn't. So again, that kind of shows the shortcomings of those, of that very kind of simplistic red flag screening that all these systems will have. That the patient said they don't have any red flag symptoms, but of course they do. So that, as you can see, the message that they're getting now is based on the information you've entered, you may need emergency help. If this is a medical emergency, you should cancel this request and call 999 or go to A&E. And then also it's provided the patient with some information around some kind of contextual information around their condition. So chest pain, and it's giving them advice around when to call 999. Now we give the patient the option to either say, yes, I would, you know, I'll cancel the request. So that's this option on the left. No, I'll call 999 and go to A&E. But we also give them the option to overrule this message as well. And the reason why we do that is similar to the reason, well, it's the same reason as the reason why you have those red flag screening questions. Because the patient, if the patient could just go back, change their answers, and then you wouldn't know. So at least the patient knows at this point, the GP practice will know what the true symptoms of the patient are, and that the patient has taken, responsibility for their symptoms. Because it says clearly here, do you want to continue at your own risk? So at this point, I'll just show you what the patient says. What happens if the patient says, no, I will call 999 or go to A&E. So just sure, are you sure it won't be sent to GP practice? And that's fine. So the request gets cancelled at that point. I'll now show you a different type of request. So I'll just go through these again and just to show you what happens with that. So this one is going to be more of a self it's going to be a bit, well, it's going to go through to the GP practice anyway. It's not going to detect the patient away in terms of medical emergency. It's going to be more kind of self-care initially. So the patient has a sore throat. What do you think may have caused them? Not sure. Is there anything you're particularly worried about? It's not going away. How long has it been going on since yesterday? Is it getting better, worse, or staying the same? I'll say better. What has been tried to make the problem so far? Has it helped? I'm going to say nothing. She's not tried anything. Is there someone at the practice you prefer to help? So at this point, I'll show you that you can put in Dr. Brown. Any thoughts on how you'd like the practice to help, please let them know here. I'll skip this one. And how would you like to receive help from your GP practice? No preference. At the times you're unavailable. And I'll skip that one. So again, that's the confirmation message. And again, the AI is running now. It's detected that there's nothing urgent from the patient's previous request. And what it's doing now is showing a slightly different signpost message. So it's saying, here's some information from the NHS related to your query. So there's one around sore throat here and giving you some information. And it's giving the patient, giving the option to cancel their request. So would you still like to submit the request to your practice? No, this information has resolved my query. Or yes, I would still like to contact my GP practice. If I choose a different option now, if I say, yes, I'd still like to contact my GP practice. The AI, as I mentioned, the topic AI is now going to trigger some specific questions related to this topic that will help gather more information. So the AI has detected this is related to a sore throat. It's asking the patient for some photos of their throat. Now, Gandhi, you might be aware, you might notice this or remember this video. So we show your very excellent video there about how to take a good photo.
My most viral one ever. Yeah.
Yeah. The patient can add their photo of their throat at this point. Did that audio come through there, by the way, when I shared?
I didn't hear anything. Apologies.
Okay. We might need to reshare then for later when we get to the telephone assistant. So then it's going to ask the patient about the sore throat. So this is a questionnaire based on the fever pain questions. So this is a questionnaire that's been triggered because the topic of sore throat has been picked up. So I'm going to answer these in a slightly different way now to show what happens in the other end. But if you had a fever in the last 24 hours, I'm going to say yes. Do you have a cough? I'm going to say no. Sore throat starting the last 3 days. Yes. When you look in the back of the throat, it's a pus on your tonsils. Yes. When you look in the throat, you know your tonsils that's feeling inflamed. Yes. So this is just gathering information for the fever pain score, which will be calculated as well. So at this point, the patient is then provided with a confirmation message. They say that they can expect a response within your working hours and within what time will you expect the response. And this is all practice configurable as well. At this point, I'm going to stop doing example requests. I'm going to go and show you what it looks like on the GP practice side. But one final thing before we go and do that is just to show you this My Health module. So this, again, is an optional module for practices. But you can give access to individual patients on an individual level. But you can give them access to certain questionnaires. So if there are patients that you want them to input their blood pressure readings frequently, you can give them access to this and they can go in from time to time and put in their blood pressure readings. If you want them to, you know, submit a PHQ-9 questionnaire infrequently or an IPSS questionnaire frequently, you can get them to do that here. You don't have to send them a message and then get them to message you back. So that's a slightly different way of collecting information from patients as well. So now going to log in as the GP practice and show you what it looks like from that end. So the first thing that you'll see is I've been taken to my inbox. Now, what you can also do is if you work at different practices, you can have different instances of patches at your different practices. So if you're working in if you've got multiple sites or if you work across different practices, you can have link your patches accounts. And as you can see here at the top, I've got two different practices that I'm associated with. So I've got this EMIS practice. I've also got a System One practice. I can flip between the two each time. So really easily I can do that. So that's useful, obviously, if you're working in a network or you've got multiple sites in your practice and you want different instances of patches. We've also got an all practices view where you can see where it basically combines all the requests for a specific for all your practices into one inbox. So you don't have to flick between the two as well. But essentially everybody who uses patches as a clinician gets their gets an inbox. There's also a practice specific inbox. So in this inbox, I've not got anything at the moment, but there's a practice specific inbox inboxes as well. So when the requests are initially submitted, they can either come into an unassigned inbox, if you have what we call our S, which you if you have the assign AI switched on, we'll just have the administrative requests that come in. We also have a clinical inbox, where the Assign AI will automatically workflow any requests that it thinks need clinical input. You can see here the request that we just submitted has come through into this clinical inbox. So that's automatic workflow happening as well. Now, you'll notice that there are flags attached. So this is where the urgency AI kicks in. You've got red flags, which are emergencies. You've got orange flags. So that means it should be dealt with on the same day. You've got orange for urgent, which should be dealt with within 48 hours. And then you've got these administrative requests here. So these are clinical administrative, which is why they're in the clinical inbox. In addition, you've got some other icons. So you've got WeatherF person, you've got the little person icon, whether it's crossed through or not crossed through. And that's the face-to-face AI telling you that whether the patient needs the face-to-face appointment or not. If they do need a face-to-face appointment, you might want to bring them in straight away. We've also got our little language icon there, which tells you that that request has been submitted in a different language. We've also got the little telephone assistant icon there, so you know which has been submitted by a telephone assistant, which we'll come to next. So I'm going to open up the request that we just submitted, which is this one here. And this is the safety feature I was telling you before. It just tells you the patient answered yes to the red flag question before submitting the request. So that means that you, and it also says the patient was signposted to emergency services prior to submitting a request. So that just gives you that extra level of kind of safety and confidence within the system. So here you get the chat history, so you can see exactly what's been said before when we submitted our request. You can see any attachments from the patient. So you've got their lovely tonsils there. And at this point, you would deal with the request as you saw fit. So you might want to give the patient a call. You can send them a message back really easily, just using here. So you can free type a message, and you can send that via SMS or email. Email is the default to try and save money. If it can be reply required or not, if you choose reply required, you can select different inboxes for the reply to come to. When you send the message, it comes, just shows up in the chat there. You can choose templates to choose from. So here you've got advice templates, you've got questionnaires. There's loads to choose from. I kind of, it was on those slides, but also there's the 150 other advice templates, and you can search through them as well. There's also the full integration with the NHS help links, which you've seen here. So I've just searched for asthma, and that can bring up an asthma the asthma page from nhs.uk as well. You can attach documents from the clinical system. So that works in the way that you would expect in terms of attaching sick notes, etc. You can get the patient to book in for an appointment as well using self-book. And then once you're happy with, dealing with that request, you can complete the message. And before you do that, you fill out these triage decisions. Now, the triage decisions are how they have a number of different functions. Firstly, they collect a lot of data, which is useful for reporting within the practice. They also provide some immediate benefits. So by marking a request as urgent or emergency, it puts it to the top of the inbox. But also what it does is it helps train and monitor the AIs. So this is how we built the AIs through clinicians and GP practice staff filling out these triage decisions to help teach the AI how to deal with different requests. When the AIs are running, these decisions are pre-populated, so you can change them if you disagree. And that is used to kind of retrain and monitor the AIs. And then once you've finished, you can just complete the message and it will send straight through into the clinical system, which Gwyneth will hopefully show shortly. Another couple of things just to briefly show you. You can see here there's an eye icon that shows you that somebody else is viewing the request at the same time. So if I go in there, I'm getting a big alert that somebody else is viewing this message. And that's useful, so that you're not duplicating work. What I didn't show you, obviously, is that you can assign these requests to different users. So here we're just working from the clinical inbox, but I can assign a request to another staff member, and I can actually assign it to a different day of the week. So if I didn't want, so if I wanted them to deal with it today, I can do today, or I can choose a different day if it's not urgent. And when I do that, the patient gets a message that they will be dealt with on a future date. And each inbox, as you can see, has can be tabbed along. So if you're setting a date for the future, it's basically going to show up on a future date. Language translation. So this is what a patient looks. So we saw from the patient side what it looks like when they choose a different language. If you open up the request here, you can see a big banner saying this has been written by the patient in Dutch. So you know straight away that this is in a foreign language. And obviously you can see the original translation here, the original language here. When you want to view it in English, you just click this link, translate to English. It shows up in English now. I can then respond to the patient, in English. When they get the message, which I can go back and show if we have time, it will show in English, but then they still just have that drop down that you saw before, and they can just choose that, and it will translate them back into their original language. So at this point, I'm going to talk briefly about the Patches telephone assistant. So I'm just going to go back to my slide. So the telephone assistant, as we've kind of touched on, is a new way of using online consultation systems. And what this focuses on is accessibility. So it's a way for patients to contact and use online consultation systems without having to use a smartphone or computer. So basically what it allows is the practice to have a dedicated phone line where if the patient calls up, they get asked the same questions with slight tweaks as you would in a normal online version, but then it gets transcribed into a normal Patches request and comes through into the inbox. And what you get is a transcribed request, but also the audio file for review. So this is ideal, as I said, for patients that can't use online consultations through their smartphone or computer, but it also really reduces your call waiting times and frees up the phone line even more. And you can save money with it. So we've shown that in case studies, we've got some nice case studies, which I will share links with too. But it cuts, obviously, call waiting time to 0 minutes because there's the telephone system can speak to multiple patients at the same time. So there's no call waiting times. It's reducing the calls to reception by up to 40% on top of those initial reductions anyway with Patches, and it's saving receptionist hours. So in one case study, we estimated that this annual receptionist hours saved using telephone assistant is over 1200 hours a year, which translates to a saving of nearly £11,000 once you take into account the cost of the telephone assistant as well. So we do actually have a webinar coming up soon for telephone assistant where we can go through it in more detail. So that's at the top if you want to scan that QR code, but we'll give you that link as well. And then at the bottom, we've got some information on the telephone assistant if you wanted to scan that and have a bit more of a look. If you're interested in having a proper demo, one-to-one demo about the telephone assistant, please email us at that email address at the bottom, patches@oneadvanced.com. And what we'll do is might try and show you, the audio might not work but here you can see this is a message from a patient that submitted a request via telephone assistant. You can see that there's a warning straight away that's been transcribed from telephone assistant, and you can see that there's a play button here. You probably can't hear that, can you, Andy?
Fortunately, not, Ben. It's not coming through, no.
Okay, but trust me, there's an audio file there that you can hear, and you can edit this. So if the transcription is wrong, then you can edit that. So here it says that I may have there's an there, so you can just delete that if you don't want the to appear. But this is how the telephone assistant appears. You've got the transcription, you've got the audio play button, so you can hear back exactly what the patient's saying. It just looks like a normal Patches request. Just conscious of time, so I'll just finish off with some of the other things that we talked about, that we said we'd talk about as well. This is actually from the case studies that we did, so a couple of quotes from staff at GP practices that have used the Patches telephone assistant, and just showing that it's really helped with their vulnerable patients navigating online consultations, but also means that you can do true total triage if you want to do it, of course, with the telephone assistant, and can really help with you know, managing that demand, because we know that with online consultations there can be some problems with kind of focusing on that, with unearthing more demand, and what can you do to kind of help that and help patients that can't use those systems. So we said we'd talk about the new GP contract, and you might have some additional information, Gandhi, than I do. But I thought there was a few ways that patches can help with the new GP contract. So obviously it came out a few weeks ago now, and the key things that I picked out where patches could help are initially over this data that we'll need to provide around telephone times. So call times to answer, missed call volumes, wait time before call abandoned. And that data is going to be provided to PCN directors, ICBs, and NHS England. Now, obviously, the telephone assistant can help there, because it will reduce your call waiting time significantly. It will reduce your missed call volumes, and it will reduce your waiting time before abandoned as well. So that's one way in which patches can help. The other bit that I thought stood out for me is the making the online consultation system available for patients to use throughout the duration of court hours. Now, the way that I think patches can help here is that we have quite an advanced demand management system. So I'll just switch back and maybe show you what that looks like over here. But of course, most systems, most of these online consultation systems will allow you to switch them off, right? But the problem with that is that then you're not open throughout the duration of your core hours, which is what the new contract has said. With patches, what you can do is you have a demand management tab, and actually what you can do is set windows of time where you're open throughout the day. So as you can see here, you've got hours of the day across the top, you've got days of the week down the side. And what you can do is edit. You can have up to 6 different periods of time throughout the day, and you can edit each time point and say how many clinical requests and how many non-clinical requests would you like to let through within that time period. And the clinical requests are the health problems that you saw at the beginning, and the admin are the medication and admin requests. So what that means is that you can still have your online consultation system open throughout core hours to meet the contract requirements, but you're not going to get overwhelmed, because you can set those, you can stagger the periods of time. So you don't have to have it on at 8 a.m. in the morning and then switch it off at 8:15 because you've reached your limit. You can stagger it throughout the day. The other thing, and I said that I'd mention why it is about the 30 minutes, we allow patients 30 minutes to submit their request. It's because for this reason. So when you use patches, we guarantee that you will never get more requests than you've set in your limits here. We know that some systems will, if a patient is still writing a request when the limit is hit, that the system will still let the request through. So you may have set your limit to 50, but if you've got 10 patients still writing at that point that it switches off, you'll actually get 60. And we also know that some systems will automatically, my GP practice uses a system, and when I'm halfway through typing, if they reach the limit, it just kicks me out. With the way that patches works, it doesn't work. We don't do that either. So it's kind of better for patients and the practice. So we've got the kind of more advanced demand management, but we've also got that capability to spread demand through the week, where you can book, assign requests to staff members in future dates, which I showed you. So I think that helps kind of spreading the load and spreading the demand, so you can keep your online consultation system throughout the day to meet this requirement. And then the final point that I thought it could help with is this: a consistent approach to care navigation, triage, and that there's parity between online, face-to-face, etc. at the bottom. Now, I think that the way that patches can help here is with the AIs, understandably, with the signposting and the face-to-face and assign AIs, where you're getting this parity between online, face-to-face, but you're also getting this consistency to triage as well. Of course, parity with telephone access helps with telephone assistant as well. So yeah, those are the ways that I thought that Patches could help with the new GP contract as well. I don't know if I've missed anything that you that you covered in your latest webinar, Gandhi, but
I think that's definitely a lot of the key points when it comes to the modern general practice access points, and particularly the CAPE funding. So the additional local version, which is the three criteria. So yeah, you've covered most of the things within that system, to be honest.
Great. So just last few slides, just to kind of update you what we're planning in our roadmap. So upcoming soon, we've got the ability for patients to, so when you when a request comes in, it saves straight to the appointment system, the appointments book. So everything is captured for GPAD. In fact, I was just playing around with it before, if this is the right version. Yes, you see this little tick box here. So if you tick that and then assign it to a staff member, that saves it directly to your appointment diary. So that means that that gets captured in your GPAD data. And you can also change any of those at the point, wherever you want to save it within your appointment diary, you can change that at the point of assignment. Some of the things to mention, just some highlights, we're going to use our AIs to automatically offer patients face-to-face appointments based on that face-to-face AI. We're doing the NHS app push notification soon, so you can save even more on SMS. We're going to have AI care navigation. So you saw that we were doing some care navigation and signposting patients to self-care and emergency services. We're going to make that even more specific and signpost patients to different users and different types of care providers. And that will also be outside of the practice as well, with Patches Community, which is coming later in the year. And then next year, we're looking at transcription of telephone, video and in-person appointments with summarization. So that's, again, kind of building on our AI capabilities to take that further. Onboarding and support. So we have a large delivery team, dedicated transformation success managers. We provide a bespoke approach, so we can build things, you know, tailored to your PCN, GP practice, wider area, and we have lots of different approaches to that. In terms of timings, we can get a single practice set up within a week. We have got over 300 GP practices onboarded within 3 months, so we can work at scale if needed to. And in terms of our support, we have online, telephone, email, all within a response within an hour. And we provide continual updates. We're doing updates every 2 weeks to our software. As you can see, we're doing lots of things that we've got planned, in addition to monthly webinars that update our users about the new features that we bring out. And we have an ideas portal where customers can suggest and vote for features which we build. All of our features are driven by users, including me, who uses the software. And when I'm in practice. And just to kind of finish on costs. So everything I've shown except the telephone assistant comes as standard included in the price of Patches. So obviously we have all the inbound and outgoing messaging. So you can save lots of money by not having different systems to do these different types of things. So immediately you're going to save money if you choose Patches for all those different features. We do bulk messaging. I didn't show the appointment reminders. We do appointment reminders as well as post-appointment messages. So you're not going to need different systems to do that. We do obviously have a toolbar. Gwyneth, I forgot to hand over to Gwyneth to show that. If we still have time, maybe we can do that. But we have a toolbar which you can do your outgoing messages to patients as well. So you don't need separate systems. So we're still waiting for the digital pathways framework to come out. On the DFOC VC framework, we were priced at 25p per year per patient. And we will honor that pricing until the new digital pathways framework has been announced. And if there are large scale of practices that want to buy the purchase patches, we can do banded pricing based on scale. That being said, we're doing 3-month free trials, even though the new framework hasn't been announced and isn't live. we're doing it. So if practices want to try patches and they want a free three-month trial, please email us at that email address. And we will also make the commitment to extend any free trials until the new framework is announced. So with that DFOCVC pricing, that was covered by the central funding. So GP practices don't have to pay a penny on top of that. And we make a commitment that we will be taking a same approach with the new framework. Telephone assistant has an additional license fee on top, 12p per patient per year, but we're also doing free trials for that if you want to try it. You do have to pay for the minutes because we get paid for the minutes. That's 7.3p per minute, but that's up to 70% cheaper than a receptionist doing the same job. And all prices exclude VAT there. So I think I've gone through all my slides now, Gandhi. I'm not sure how much time we've got left, but hopefully we can have time for some questions.
I think I'd definitely like some time to ask some questions. We may come back to Gwyneth because I know that she wanted to share some stuff, but we've had loads come through from the GP learners, and let me just bring this across so we can do that. So like I said, we've had loads of really positive comments as well as other comments come through. I'm just going to go through some of the ones we've had from the team. So Dr. Wang, we use patches in our practice. It's been very well received. It is intuitive and patients find it easy to use. Questionnaires, e.g. back pain, sick notes, PHQ-9 GAD are particularly helpful. We also had Aiden Mahmoudzadi. Apologies if I pronounced that wrong. We are your patches users too. I have to say the implementation has been fantastic. It really has transformed practice care and improved the working days of GP. Everyone is really happy with it. Alex J coming in with, we use patches for several years and don't plan to change. We've used another online consultation provider in the past and our patients prefer patches. Demand setting feature so useful. I'm going to come back to that in a second. And then Pooja, finally, we're using patches in our practice. We found it useful and found it very efficient and easy to use. We also have positive reviews from patients who have used it. So definitely a lot of positivity coming through in terms of how patches works and stuff. I have a couple of questions, and I know we've got loads that have come through from the GP learners. So I am going to go to those now and stuff. I'm just looking around for my banners to help me navigate that. So first, we had a question from Chris. So this is about the 5 AI features that you had. So he wanted to know, were they working simultaneously with each message that comes through, or were they independent? And then also a second question to that, if they're a medical device, are they regulated by the MHRA, which I know you did cover, but I guess just to cover that again, Ben, if you could.
Yes. So they, I'll do the second part first. They are, they, yes. So it's regulated under the medical device regulation. So we're registered as a UKCA. So we're UKCA marked, which means we're registered with the MHRA. So it's a class one medical device because it does signposting and triage. So each of those 5 modules, they can be independently switched on and off by the practice, depending on how you want to use them. Because some practices will want to use all of them, some practices won't. Some of them have to work together, so the urgency has to work with the signposting. But other than that, they kind of can be independently switched on and off.
Cool. And I guess with the switching on and off, you showed us the various consultation route options that patients had when they submitted, so the online, email, video, etc. I'm assuming that each of those individually can also be toggled on and off, so it's not the full 6, it's possibly 5. I guess I'm thinking of some practices who don't like to offer video consultations in particular. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. So the video is how you would choose. So obviously you have the video option if you want to contact the patient with that. I guess you meant that box at the beginning, didn't you?
Yes,
that can be toggled. Yes, so you can say what appears there and what doesn't. Yes, absolutely.
I know a couple of features I found quite interesting. So that multi-view feature that you had when people were looking at the online consultation submissions, how the fact that you can be aware if someone else is looking at it. I can definitely help, particularly if you've got high volume of triage requests and multiple clinicians doing it. So I really like that and stuff. And I guess I did want to know with that, though, how does it work with the chatbot style interaction and then saving that information into the notes? Does it copy the whole transcript? Is it selected parts that comes through? Can you just give us a bit more detail into that?
Yeah, so currently it's everything. So if you have a long chat with the patient, it gets saved in. It all happens at the end. So if you're not getting multiple consultations saved for each message that you send, you just save the whole transcript. we were conscious that we didn't want to have, you know, clogging up the system with lots of separate messages.
Definitely, that's important. So when it comes to messaging, we had a question from Raina. I've been asked if practices have their secure messaging on patches switched on. Please appreciate if this is addressed later on. And I guess a similar question we had was about the charging for message, which I believe you did cover, but inbound versus outbound, how does that work with patches?
So inbound and outbound, it's all included in the price. Obviously, we're not an SMS provider, so we don't charge for SMS. We would work with your existing SMS provider, so that's separate. But in terms of the software license fee, that's included in one price. What's interesting about the secure messaging, which I didn't touch on, is that the default approach to messaging is that the patient gets a link to view their message on patches. So obviously, if you're sending messages in SMS or email, in the body of the message, it's not particularly secure, and you shouldn't really be sending clinical information or sensitive information in it, which is why the default is that you can send clinical and sensitive information because it's a secure link for the patient to view. However, if you don't want to do that, there is an option for you to tick, and it will just send it in the body of the message as well.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's that difference between, in a sense, smart messaging, isn't it? It sends the link that the patient engages with, and that's secure. Like you say, sticking the information to the body of the text is less secure, but there is that option for those patients, for example, who may not have a smartphone added into their own stuff and things for accessibility and things. Absolutely. Cool. We had some more questions. So Stuart Berry mentioned, could you discuss the cost of telephone assistant, please? I know you cover this, but it's come up a few times on the chat. So again, just to go over the cost differentials that you have.
So there's a license fee, which is 12p per patient per year. We're doing that as a 3-month free trial. So if you want to try it without the license fee, it's available. You can do. But then on top of that there is charges per minute. And the reason why we have to charge for the minutes and we can't give them away free is because we get charged for the minutes by our telephone provider. So we would obviously be losing a lot of money if we did that. But what we know is that the duration of phone calls are short. They're on average about 5 minutes, I think. And you can set monthly spend limits as well. So you can, within the practice settings, you can say, I don't want to spend more than 20 quid a month or, you know, 200 quid a month on telephone assistance. So you're never going to spend more than you want to spend on it.
Okay, that's really positive. So Claire Gisby asked, are you able to adapt the questions at all? The preferred clinician can be tricky for the on-the-day appointment.
You can switch that one off, just like you can switch the, you can change the preferred contact method as well.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the costings for the platform itself, 25p per patient based on DVCOC, I always forget the acronym, and stuff. Obviously, Digital Pathways is in the pause phase, shall we say, at this moment in time. Can you give us an idea of the likely cost moving forward? And I appreciate there are some sensitivities with that. So if you can't, I completely understand. And I would mention to others that there's a reason why we can't mention that if that's the case.
Yes, I can't give you the exact figures, but what I can tell you is that it will be completely covered by the central funding. So everything that you've seen today, apart from the telephone assistant, you will be able to purchase as a GP practice or a network or collection of practices using that money with no hidden costs, and you won't have to pay extra on top unless you get the telephone assistant.
Okay, fair enough. And I think that's valid, given the fact there's additional costs with that as well. Awesome. Thank you very much. I'm aware that we've kind of slightly gone over time, and apologies to Gwyneth. I know you've been sat there patiently, but we've just unfortunately overrun a little bit in terms of going through all that stuff. You've had so many positive comments. Again, Gav Davies is coming in. I used to use patches some time ago, found it excellent, very efficient for both patients and staff. We're currently using another well-known provider, currently talking to GPs about considering patches. So there you go. And interestingly, I ran a poll whilst we've been doing this. About 59% of users watching this are currently patches users, about 37% aren't. And and an additional 5% roughly are thinking of swapping over just from watching this live stream as well. So if people did want to find out more information, I know that you asked me, Ben, to send people to patches @oneadvance.com. Very much useful for that to get information. I will put that link and email address down in the show notes below. Any final words to the EGP learners there, Ben?
Just thank you for coming along. You know, we've got lots of stuff planned. Hopefully I've given you a flavour of what we're doing. I think that, you know, the key things that we offer innovation, particularly around artificial intelligence. So if you want to be a forward thinking practice, an innovative practice, I think we're the only solution for you. In addition, if you want to save money by not having lots of different providers doing different things, Patches can do it all for you.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And as always, we'll be here to help tech enhance your primary care and learning. And we will catch you in the next episode. See you later.
Oh, hello there, EGP learner. I'm Dr. Gandalf, and I often get asked, what kind of resources do you have to try and help those using EMIS? Because you tend to do a lot more stuff for System 1. And often I've really struggled to answer that question, because let's be honest, I don't use EMIS on a regular basis. So therefore, trying to help EMIS users is a little bit more difficult for myself. And that really made me feel, well, not great. So I kind of did something to try and help all those EMIS users out there. I went and had a chat with one of my colleagues, Dr. Mike from GP on the Move, and him and I have created a course that you can use to help you use EMIS so much better. That's right, if you use EMIS but you want to use it so much better, so much quicker, and in such a way that means you go home sooner, then check out our EMIS for Clinicians course. It's an online course that takes you through all the tips and tricks that Dr. Mike knows to try and basically mean you can go home quicker. That'd be a cool thing, wouldn't it? And guess what? It's currently on offer. So if you want to take advantage of this introductory offer and get access to it now, look at the links down below and check it out. Additionally, if you're a practice, network, or wide area that wants more opportunity to use it, send me an email, egplearning@gmail.com. Let's see if we can help you out. And as I like to say, to tech enhance your primary care and learning. Shall we get back to it? Oh, and if you wanted one for System 1 users, well, you know I've got you covered, haven't I? Check out the Learn System 1 for Clinicians course, bit.ly/TPP S1 course.